Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get back to talking about these Houston Texans and nobody we enjoy doing that more with than this gentleman that we have on the phone line, my fellow Nigerian. He is a former Houston Texans player. You've seen him on pregame shows, on the preseason, or they're either in the broadcast, in the preseason. I never get that right. I will eventually. And you catch him here every Thursday. His name is Ndi Kalu. What's happening, my man?
You know what, Reggie, as proud as I am, make sure you say Nigerian-American before they round my ass up and send me that home. Yeah. So just make sure they know I'm really from San Antonio, Texas.
That's right, San Antonio. He is a native Texan. He has many children that are native Texans that play football, America's game. You know, I feel like we want to mention that all of those things.
Apple pie and baseball.
Yeah.
He is an entrepreneur. He is a job creator.
And the feds be listening.
And the feds be listening, Figgy said.
Look, I love it here and I want to stay here. I love it here and I want to stay here.
He is a contributor to our GDP here in America.
That's right.
That
Ndi Kalu. Hey, yeah. Ndi, we're going to look forward. But a couple things I want to look back at, and I want you to put this in the back of your mind because we're going to come back to this. We were talking about the Bucs seemingly being coy about allowing Nick Chubb to score, and so I'm going to ask you about that. But in the back of your mind, start thinking about this. That led to the conversation of how we ourselves have gotten duped over the years, and I told the story about I literally got sucked into and lost about $600-$700 in a pyramid scheme with gold coins when I was 23 years old. And we all told our story. So keep that in the back of your mind. I want to see if you got a story about when you got duped. But let's get back to Monday night before we look forward. How much does that possibility come up about letting a team score? What did you see? Was there anything that maybe, you know, you thought, maybe they did do this?
Well, just looking at the score, and when you look at the clock, I feel like they absolutely did it, but you don't want to just say that because of the integrity of the game. You know what I'm saying, John? Like, mm-hmm. you grow up no matter what, no matter what the situation is, you try to stop the team from scoring, and good things will happen. So I don't think it was like being coy just towards the direction of the Texans or Texans media. I think it's more to protect the integrity of defense. You never just want to let anyone score. But when you look at the situation, I don't remember the specifics, but the Texans, they could have eaten up the clock, kicked a field goal, and made it really tough for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to come back. So to have that strategy to say, you know what, we're going to hurry up and let them score, and if they don't get the two-point conversion, then we still have a chance to win it. That's a ballsy move, but I feel like I've seen it. I've been a part of it, you know, a few times, but it's not something that you feel good about talking about publicly, if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Ndi Kalu here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, and I've been shocked by the reemergence to this level of tackling woes for this defense, at least in this game. for you, when you were watching this game, what did you see that, you know, was the big issue with them tackling? And for, I mean, you were a tackler by trade. You got paid a lot of money for it. How would you go about trying to fix that with this team?
I feel like guys are trying to go for the knockout shot with the shoulder pad because, you know, you can't obviously leave with the crown of your helmet. There are so many rules now when it comes to tackling. And this is across the board. This is not an excuse. You got to figure it out because guess what? 31 other teams are either figuring it out or they're in the same boat. But it just feels like now guys are still trying to make those highlight hits and they're not doing the fundamentals of football with the wrapping up. And it's a surprise. I remember during the preseason broadcast, we had a chance to talk to Henry Toa, and he mentioned that in the entire offseason, he got with rugby players. Mm-hmm. You know, they taught him how to, you know, bring down players or different techniques. I mean, the man's in the NFL. He knows how to tackle. But you knew that was an emphasis for your starting middle linebacker, for your starting will linebacker in this defense, and to see the issues that we're all seeing, it's pretty tough. So the question is, okay, how you combat that? You're not going to bring in new starters. So what do you emphasize during practice? Getting the head across the body, pursuits. You know, they keep talking about swarm. Well, I like swarm mentality, but you still got to get the guy down if you're going to have that many people around the ball carrier. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that you have to emphasize, watch more film of the right tackles versus the wrong way to try to bring down the ball carrier. So it needs to be an emphasis practice this week for the defense.
All right, so let's get to the offensive line now. As a defensive lineman, I know you were watching the Texans. The big one was, you know, you're down on the 1 yard line with three shots and don't get it in. What are you seeing from the Texans offensive line? I mean, bluntly, they're struggling.
Look, when you're down that close, I can sit up here and say they're playing in front of their hips. They're not getting the correct leverage. But when you're that close, John, you know this. The guy in front of you is just better. I mean, let's just be real. The guy in front of you is just better if you can't score from that close in. So what does that mean? Similar to what we just said about the defense, I'm going to say about the offensive line, there's not a bunch of studs just waiting to get signed and join this team. So you got to figure out a way to come up with schemes, to come up with certain plays and certain blocking schematics for it to work for you. If Charlie Heck could come in for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and get in that game and they still had success on offense, then you could figure out a way to have success on the offense with Ed Ingram, Titus Howard and company. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, that's when you have to really start looking at your schemes and looking at what play calls you're calling to get the best out of you, the offensive line that you said we're going to roll with when the season started.
Yeah, and I mean, Indy, that's been at least for me, a chief frustration is these were situations that you put yourself in, and it doesn't feel like there's been a lot of creative ways to kind of help whatever the talent level is, whatever we're talking about, be successful. So the question that I've been coming to is like, what are the places that you do have schematic or coaching advantages to your eye with this Texans team all the way across? Where does it feel like you have coaching advantages on the field with this team?
When you say coaching advantages, and first, let me jump back. Mm-hmm. I just threw out Charlie Heck's name. Like, everyone knows who he is. For those that don't know, you know, former fourth or fifth round draft pick of the Texans. He bounced around the league on practice squad, was just signed to Tampa Bay to be a backup, and he gets thrown in the game, and they still had success. Mm-hmm. So let me reference that. As far as the advantages, I still like this wide receiving group. You know, I still like what you have with Jaden Higgins, with Nico Collins, with Dalton Schultz. And to answer your question, and I'm going to kind of oversimplify it, I like the short dink and dunk passes if you're not going to be able to get it done in the running game because your offensive line isn't blowing the defensive line off the line of scrimmage. And if you're not able to protect C.J. Stroud for more than 2.5 seconds, then you do those little dink and dunk passes. You get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. You do it in a way with the Texas route coming out of the backfield if you want to get your running back involved, but in a way where it's like, all right, Nico, the ball's in your hands. Make the first guy miss, pick up the extra yards, and it gives you confidence, and it starts a rhythm. So I would not be surprised if we see more of those short passes that my coach in San Antonio used to call long handoffs just to get the ball in the hands of the guys that you feel like can make plays. And Jalen Noll, with what he did in the return game, like just get him the ball in space and you're going to expect for good things to happen. So don't be surprised if we see a lot of those 4 or 5 yard passes that the expectation is the athlete has to turn that 4 or 5 yard pass into a 10 yard game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think we're all with you on that. And they actually did try to do that early on with Nico and then kind of got away from it. But so it kind of led me to think about the question of is it C.J. Stroud at the line of scrimmage? And we're not just totally piling on, but we know the issues. Like, is it C.J. Stroud at the line of scrimmage not necessarily processing and getting the ball right to the right people? Or is it as simple as the play calling is just not been up to snuff?
Yes. when it's that bad, it has to be a combination. It has to be a combination. You know, I can't get in the head of C.J. Stroud and say he's not able to process. And I don't think anybody, without knowing what the play is, without knowing what his responsibility is before each play, can honestly say, say that. But there's a problem there. And I feel like with a first-time offensive coordinator, it's only two. Keep in mind, this is it's time to panic. Like, I'm not going to sit, especially if you lose to Jacksonville, who's 1-1 and they're in your division. So let's not mistake what I'm about to say as, oh, there's nothing to see here. But this is a guy, he's only in week two of calling regular season games. Preseason games are a joke. They're basically glorified practices. I think they're needed. But you don't really get to open up the playbook. So it needs to happen sooner than later. But, you know, this guy has to get into a regular season rhythm as well when it comes to calling these plays.
We're talking to Andy Kalu. Andy, one of the things that I think oftentimes is when I see an offense, especially one that maybe was like prominent in the aughts, right, 05, 08, something like that, I think defenses and defensive coordinators have really worked out the things that they need to do to try and combat the things that offense, the questions that offense raises. Is that a reality for you as a guy that's been on the defensive side? Like, if you're seeing a Mike McCarthy offense from 2008, that West Coast style in 2025, we know what the answers are. Is that real, or is that just me not being dyed in the wool of football?
Well, if he doesn't, the thing is the offensive coordinator, you know, if they had success in 2008, they still need to kind of tweak what they're doing. They still need to change, their mindset and keep their playbook relevant. But absolutely, if things haven't changed and you have 4 years of film, yeah, it makes it easier for the defensive coaches, the defensive coordinator to scheme against that. So that's why you, regardless of how great of an offensive mind you are, if you want to stay relevant for years to come, you take your foundation and then you tweak it a bit, you change it up, you throw a little wrench in it so it doesn't get so easy to defend against. But no, you're absolutely onto something with some of these offensive coordinators. You're like, nope, this is what worked back in 2005 and it's going to work in 2025. The game's a little bit different. You better have to learn how to tweak and keep it relevant.
Hey, just curious on this one, as the Texans are going to face the Jaguars, what are your thoughts on Travis Hunter and playing both ways and the ability to make that sustainable?
That's a great question, because part of me is, what made him special and one of the most dominant college players I've ever watched was the fact that he was doing it on both sides of the ball. So if you're going to draft him, you know, let him do what he's done in college. And then there's a side of me, John, that's like, man, college and the NFL are two entirely different entities, two entirely different levels. But if you take a guy like that and you say, okay, he's only going to play one side of the ball, then he's not quite as valuable. Mm-hmm. And I think he's learning that it's different playing wide receiver against these defensive backs. It's different playing defensive back against these wide receivers. I still think they should keep the experiment of letting him play both ways, move on. Because, again, as if I'm in the draft room, you know, going back to pre-draft, and the people around me are saying, hey, if you're going to draft this guy, we're only using him as, and you tell me one position or the other, then he kind of drops in my war room draft board. But if it's like you truly believe that he can be effective as a receiver and as a DB, yeah, then you take him where they took him and you let him play both ways. But we see guys that only play one position, you know, need time to adjust. Sure. You know, I think everyone just expected him to, and we all wanted it as fans of the game, to have that game. Man, he had 100 yards receiving and two picks. It's like, slow down, Chief. This is the NFL. Like, it's not that easy. Or you know who would have done that? Deion Sanders would have done it. Charles Woodson would have done it. There are so many guys before him that if it was that easy, they would have put up those type of stats.
Indeed. They haven't let up a lot of points, but there have been – I mean, we saw the way that team ran – roughshod on you up and down. Is this defense good?
Oh, absolutely. I still think this defense is good. Are they perfect? No. Are they the 85 Bears? No. Can they improve against the run? Absolutely. And, you know, there were plays where I forgot that I was rooting for my Texans, and I was like, good God, that running back for Tampa Bay is physical. Like, he's good like that. But They still have to figure out a way with Tim Settle, Sheldon Rankins, who I think they play good ball, Folu Fatukasi, Mario Edwards, to you know, really be those plugs in the middle and let your linebackers roam and make those tackles and plays. But overall, big picture, I absolutely still think it's a good defense, but they definitely need to work on the whole in between the 20s, allowing for big chunks of running yards.
All right, Andy, we got to ask. You're an NFL player, an easy mark in some eyes. What has there ever been a case where you were duped?
Ooh. Well, you know I'm married, so that's the biggest dupe ever. That's the biggest dupe ever. You know, one that bothers me to this day happened when I was in college. I met this chick from North Shore. She came by my dorm room at Rice. And, you know, we're hanging out. She didn't really let me get as far as I wanted to get to. But she was all, hey, I'm gonna come back to the dorm room tomorrow night. Can I borrow your New Edition, the Best of New Edition CD?
Oh, no, so that's all, your squad.
Man, she made it sound like, you know, she was going to borrow it and we're going to get back to the dorm the next night. Man, this hoe took that CD and I never heard from her again. So that was the biggest. And this is pre-NIL. So yeah, the fact that I spent $14.99 on the Best of New Edition CD and this heifer took it and never came back to the dorm room. Yeah, if anybody sees a chick from North Shore, Galena Park, riding around with that CD, let me know. That still bothers me to this day.
It should, obviously.
I don't even think you got a place to play that CD, and I know that means that much to you because you still want it back.
Oh, I got – yo, all my cars have CD players. I'm old school, Reggie. The 96 Impala still has a CD player.
Okay, so, yeah. All right. I respect it.
I got somewhere to play it.
All right. We appreciate it. It's ND Kalu joining us, as he always does on a Thursday. Thank you, sir.
Y'all keep up the good work, brothers.
We will do that, and we will keep an eye out for a New Edition. Best
He's
new
a big
edition
New Edition
CD.
Guy.
He should be. That's a fantastic CD. Honestly, I understand why he's mad. And if you didn't know he was mad, he used the word hoe and he used the word heffa in there.
That's right.
You don't call nobody a heffa if you don't mean it.
True.
So, no, I appreciate that. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including a change in college football that I think is going to be very good for the game. We'll talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.